my notes. In Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 1, I think it's interesting that as we study the scriptures and as our lives move forward toward old age, that passages that at one time seem either very straightforward sometimes become more complex, sometimes more complex passages become more straightforward. But I think an appreciation for a verse and its transcending lessons change, at least it has with me. And this is one of those stories of Cain and Abel. And, you know, that's one of those stories that from the time if you were raised going to a Bible class, you probably heard the story of Cain and Abel. So little children are taught that story. And I would dare say that people in the world that really aren't real acquainted with the Bible, that may be one story that they could relate to and tell. And I want to look at it today and make some observations about it and see if we can do some research about it. I think there's a couple real profound things about this story. One of them we won't look at at all, and the other we'll spend some time in. But I encourage you to go back and as we've read it today and maybe think about it some this week, about just the truths that are found within this about man and sin and how we relate to each other. In chapter 4, verse 1, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they had went into the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? And the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." And I think, too, when you've had children, especially siblings, and you've dealt with sibling rivalry, which every parent deals with that has more than one child, I think there's a profound sadness that comes with this story. That imagine for the first time Adam and Eve see death in a human being, and it's between two of their sons, their two boys. And I don't know, before this, this is one of those cases where we just wish there was more background. That what was Cain and Abel's relationship before this? Was there always some strife between them? Were they close? And did this event just cause things to fall apart? I don't know what, but I think what this story does is it tells us some things very clearly. And that is, we realize early on that murder is wrong and that God doesn't want us to kill each other. And I know that doesn't sound very profound, but I think were it not for this story, maybe it wouldn't hit us as hard. Because we get further in the Bible, we see killing take place that God not only orders, but is good with. But here we see a brother taking his brother's life, the murder of another human being for no just cause, no godly cause, is looked down on by God. The other thing that's very clear from this story is the fact that we can rule over our sin. And I think it's the best verse in the Bible that really helps us to see that. When we say, "Well, this is just too much for me, I can't win, I can't beat this," or whatever, clearly God says to Cain, look, before Cain ever sinned, a very unique situation. I think a lot of us would think that if God would come 5 minutes or a day or a week before I'm going to sin, and he'd say to me, "Daryl, you're about to sin, now don't do it." And I think most of us would say, okay, I could stop from doing it then. You know, if I was told by God that I was about to sin and I needed to fix it, I think I could fix it. But clearly what this says is no, we wouldn't. Because the warning of God is here for us. And God directly comes down and talks to Cain and says, Cain, look, you're getting trouble here. Your thinking is not right. You're viewing the situation wrong. If you'll do what's right, God, I will be pleased with you. But right now, sin is about to overtake you. Be careful. And he doesn't listen to God. He goes out and he talks to his brother. And what happens in that conversation, again, we don't know. We cry out and we ask, I wonder what he said to him. I wonder what happened there. All we know is that he kills his brother. And the other thing we don't know that I think often we wonder about is, one is, why? What made Cain's sacrifice unacceptable to God? And you can read and you maybe come up with your own ideas about all kinds of theories about that. And we're going to go and we'll look in the New Testament and see if we get an answer to that question. But I think the overriding second question to me that cries out that's not answered in this text is, why did Cain kill Abel? I mean, I think any time you study this or read through it, I think that's the questions, the two questions that often come up is, why? What made Cain sacrifice? What made Abel sacrifice better than Cain? What was it that was about it that God liked it better and that God accepted it? And what was the Cain sacrifice? Was it the thing he offered? Was it the way he offered it? Was it an attitude in offering it? What was it? And I'll say, in the text, he doesn't tell us the answer to either one of those questions. Well, this is a real easy lesson. There's only going to be about four passages we're going to deal with. If you take that story and you say, where else in the Bible is Cain mentioned, then you're not going to find him in the whole Old Testament after this, specifically mentioned in dealing with the story. But you do find it in a couple places in the New Testament. Jude chapter 1, since there's only one chapter in Jude, it's easy to find. In the book of Jude, in verse 11, now, remember, Jude is one of the harshest little books you could ever read because really, after the introduction, he really gets into talking about this idea of false teachers and people who have come in and have left the Lord and they've abandoned God for all kind of bad things, all kind of evil, all kind of things like that. And in verse 11 of Jude, it says this, woe to them, talking about these people that have done all these things, for they walked in the way of Cain, and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. And he brings up three of the most noteworthy stories in the Old Testament that all dealt with people who were not just lightly disobedient to God, but severely disobedient to God. And because of all of those three people, Cain, Korah, and Balaam, people died because of their sin. So all Jude tells us, doesn't give us really any new information, is if sometimes you get to look at the Bible like a detective, and here's this mystery that's created from Genesis chapter 4, what was the difference in the sacrifice, and why did Cain kill Abel? And we go and we say, all right, maybe the New Testament sheds some light. I think all Jude does here is Jude just reinforces what we already know, and that Cain was a terrible person. That God looked at Cain now, and when you talk about somebody being in the way of Cain, you're saying in the way of a murderer, in a way who is a rebellion against God, in a way who's somebody who doesn't want to listen to God. All right, well, Hebrews chapter 11 also talks about Cain, in contrast really to Abel, though, as Abel's mentioned there as a man of great faith in this great hall of fame, in Hebrews chapter 11 and starting in verse 4. All right, so remember the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is about faith, and it gives all these examples of great men of faith. We call it the Faith Hall of Fame sometimes. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, he says this, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Well, why? What was it? Why was it more acceptable sacrifice than Cain? It doesn't say. But all we know is it really is saying the same thing we learned from chapter 4, kind of inadvertently, and that is God saying in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews is saying, but I just want you to know that Abel was a man of faith, and his sacrifice was better than the sacrifice of Cain. It was more acceptable than Cain's sacrifice. Then he goes on to say, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So we know that Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable, it was not considered righteous, and it was not pleasing to God. And because of that, he wasn't commended by God as being righteous. In fact, he was commended by God as being unrighteous. Well, I don't know, but that doesn't still doesn't answer our two questions. It doesn't still doesn't tell us why his sacrifice was unacceptable specifically. It just says it was. Or why did Cain kill Abel? Alright? Well, there's only one other verse. We looked at Jude, right? Jude verse 11. We've looked at Hebrews chapter 11. And now we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3. And if the answer's not here, I'll just say it's not in the New Testament either. Because that's all the we're just going to read all the verses that mention Cain in the New Testament. So in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. And he says this. For this is a message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And Justin talked about this, about John's reference, the idea of God loving us, and therefore now us loving each other. And he's talked about this since the very first chapter of 1 John. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. No new information there. He's of the evil one, he murdered his brother. And he asked the exact same question I think anybody who reads Genesis chapter 4 would ask. And why did he murder him? So we're going to get the answer to one of our questions. We're not going to get the answer to the second, but we're going to get to the first question, but we're going to get the answer to the second. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. What? I mean, that's why he murdered his brother? It's because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous? And what John says there, he goes on, he says, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. And when we read this passage, that's usually now where our focus shifts to, isn't it? And we would, if we were discussing this in a Bible class, what we would start talking about is here is, you're right, the world hates us. Why does the world hate us? Because we're righteous and the world's evil. And many of us could get examples of that where you've done something good, right? You stood up for something or you did a righteous thing and somebody hated you for it. You told the truth at work, right? And everybody in your department got in trouble. You did the right thing. You were righteous in what you did, but all your coworkers hate you for it. We can all own stories, and so we can all just commiserate with each other and remind ourselves the truth. That's why they killed Jesus, because his deeds were righteous and theirs weren't. That when we're going to serve God, we're going to be members of God's family, we're going to be his children, then people are going to hate us because we serve God. And he goes on to say, so do not be surprised, brothers, the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But see, that's just an aside to what he's teaching us in this passage. The real issue is, why did Cain kill Abel? Because Abel was righteous and Cain wasn't. Abel did something that was righteous, and Cain realized it and saw that what he did was unrighteous. But what's the message for us? That we not be what? Like Cain, right? There are the two questions. I'm not keeping up with the screen. Am I like Cain? You see, he's not saying here, the context really is not so much about us altering our focus to what the world, how the world hates us. The context really says, is it possible I could hate Justin because he's more righteous than I am? My brother in Christ. Look who he's writing to. He's writing to Christians here. Again, let me read the first verse. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He's not talking about us getting love from the world. He's not talking about us having a misunderstanding of how the world loves us. He brings that up. But he says, we should not be like Cain. We should not be like Cain. Have you ever asked yourself, am I like Cain? That'd be kind of, I don't know, ladies, have you ever asked yourself, am I like Jezebel? I doubt it. And I can tell you, just, I've never sat around there. I thought a lot of times, I said, you know what, am I like the Apostle Paul? Am I like Timothy? You know, when I was younger. Am I like Timothy? Am I like Peter, you know, kind of just jump out there and say something? Am I like John or James when they wanted Jesus to give them whatever they wanted? And I thought those things a lot of times. But what John says, what we need to be asking ourselves is, am I like Cain? How are we going to relate to that, though? Because most of us have never killed somebody. And if we have, I don't know of anybody in here that's gone and killed your brother in Christ because he was more righteous than you. And so what happens, because the extreme of Cain's hatred of his brother is there, we sometimes miss the application to us. So then what would be the application to us? What would be what he's saying here? How is it that I could be like Cain? Now, like Cain is, my own deeds are evil and my brothers are righteous. That's what being like Cain is. So as I ask myself that question every time, I got to ask myself, is it possible I hate my brother because my own deeds are evil and his are righteous? So what we're going to look at the rest of the time is just how do we apply that. And I think this is the first thing that came to my mind. Am I like Cain, my own deeds evil and my brother's righteous when somebody corrects me? And I think that's a real issue. Because what we so often do is when we're corrected. Now here in this idea of correction, what we're talking about, and this first way of thinking about it is I'm doing something wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. I'm not being falsely accused. I haven't had a story made up about me. I'm doing something wrong. And somebody, my brother, sister, use it in the general sense, is now trying to correct me. Do I hate my brother? Do I now act differently toward them? Do I mistreat them because my deeds are evil and his are righteous? And how would I see that? And I think I mentioned this in class the other night, but I'll do it in more detail here. I'm trying to meet with the guys that are coming to the transition house now ahead of time. You know, I'm constantly trying to figure out how to get the right men to come to the transition house. All right, so we're meeting every week or a couple weeks. Mitch was involved doing this. We started with his group of guys a couple months ago. And so we're in a meeting, and I bring in a guy that's getting out a little later. He's meeting with us for the first time as a group. There's been four or five of us, and he starts meeting with us. He's coming, actually got a year and a half or 2 years to go. So we're in this meeting, and I say in the meeting, I say, look, one of the things I'm having this meeting for is because I've had guys get out, and they fail, and I go back into the prison, and all my brothers in Christ tell me, oh, we knew he was doing this, this, and this. I go, why didn't you tell me? Why would you let me bring a guy to the house who's obviously involved in this obvious sin to y'all? I didn't even see it. Nobody said anything to me. So I sit with this group and I say, here's the deal. If you don't want to live with this guy, if you're worried he's going to mess up your probation, he's not going to lead you, he's going to lead you into sin or lead you into wrongdoing, then right now, this is when we need to bring it up. If you don't think Mitch, when he was there, if you don't think Mitch should be coming to the transition house, then you need to let's say something about it right now and let's talk about it. Well, the first few times we did it, nobody said anything, obviously. Nobody wants to rat somebody out or be confrontational. Well, this last time we met, guess what? Somebody said, yeah, I don't think he should come. Wow, that was a shock, I'll just say. You know, an uncomfortable situation there. That was uncomfortable. All right? So the guy that he said that to said, of course, why? The other guy brought up a few things. And it kind of was so uncomfortable, nobody really wanted to talk about it anymore. The subject just kind of got changed. So the guy that was the one that was the recipient of the criticism in this case, was the sin was pointed out in his life. I meet with him a week later, one-on-one. And he comes in, and I go, how you doing? He goes, well, I'm mad. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, I'm mad because so-and-so threw me under the bus. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, yeah. He was just trying to impress you. He was trying to look good in front of you. That's why he said that about me. And he's never come to me and talked to me about it. He shouldn't have brought it up in that group. He cared about me. If he's a Christian, he should have come and talked to me. That's what the Bible says to do. And he just did that because I think he's got a problem. I don't think he should be coming to the transition house because doing something like that, he's got some issues. And he went on for at least 15 minutes. And after he got all that out and calmed down, I said, is what he said right? And he said, yeah, it is. Do you see what happened here? He is like Cain. His brother brought him something. Now, again, we could talk about, yeah, there's a right way to do it, and you should do it this way. You should do it out of love. You should do it privately if possible. You shouldn't do it in front of a bunch of people. You should do it, you know, in the way you'd want it done. And all that's nice, and all that's true. But in one sense, it doesn't matter. The point was, is all he could do is hate his brother because his brother pointed out something that was true and sinful in his life. Are we like Cain? I mean, we've written letters to people. We know this in the past. And looking back, we sometimes, you know, as a man or as a congregation get back to, you know what, we probably should have talked to them more first, and I wish we'd have said this, I wish we'd have done this. And a lot of times we're right about that. But it doesn't matter in one sense. It matters if we were accurate and we pointed out sin in somebody's life, and that person got angry at us because the way we did it. Do you see the inherent problem here? Cain hated Abel because he didn't like the way God handled the treatment of himself compared to his brother. What did Abel do other than by acting right, in that case, pointed out the contrast between him and his brother? When we say something to somebody about some sin, that's all we're doing. All we're saying is that your life in this area is not righteous. And again, for a case of assumption, we're assuming that's exactly true. Why is it, though, that we, when we do that, that oftentimes, or we react in such a way that we get angry at the person? Imagine a scenario. Missy and Don are working out at Blackfin CrossFit, and Missy's frustrated because she can't get that 135 up on a clinging jerk, and she cusses. Now, she hadn't done this farther than that, right, Donna? Okay, good. Just check. And she cusses. And Donna, in the middle of the class, says, Missy, you're supposed to be a Christian. You don't need to talk like that. You're setting a bad example for everybody. Just shut up and do the weight. Now, that might make Missy mad. Okay? Now, and so Donna comes and she talks to Crystal on Wednesday night and says, Crystal, man, we need to talk to Missy. She cussed her in class the other day, and she got mad when I told her. And let's change the scenario. Missy goes to Crystal. And Missy says, man, I don't know what's going on with Donna. What's up? And Crystal says, yeah, what's up? What's wrong with y'all? Oh, I accidentally slipped, and a word came out of the workout, and she blew it all out of proportion. She yelled at me in class. She embarrassed anybody. Hasn't she ever read Matthew 18? Matthew 18 says she's supposed to come to me first. She didn't do that. She doesn't love me. She doesn't care. And in fact, you know what, Crystal? I've heard her cuss before in class too. I didn't say anything about it. In that scenario, Missy's being like Cain. Is that unusual to what happens among us so many times? Is it what happens? I'm confronted with sin, and I can't deny. Cain couldn't deny. I didn't offer the right sacrifice. For whatever reason, I didn't offer the right sacrifice. But I don't want to think about what I didn't do right. I want to think about why I'm being compared to my brother. I want to think about why, God, you came and dealt with me. Why didn't you tell him he should have helped me do sacrifice better? For whatever reason. But we don't want to deal with our sin. I said something wrong. I shouldn't have cursed out loud in class. I am not representing God. There's no excuse for it. And on one hand, it doesn't matter how you came to me about it. Do you see, how can I ever be mad at an individual or at a congregation or a group of Christians if they point out sin in my life and it's true? If I'm mad about that, then am I like Cain? There's a time and a place that we should, now on the receiver end, but that's not what this lesson's about. On the person confronting, absolutely, there's all kinds of things we could talk about making the message easier to hear. But in the final analysis, it doesn't matter. What he's saying here is, are we like Cain? Are we like Cain in the way we respond to somebody correcting me? Is all I want to talk about how you should have done it better? how you didn't do it the right way, how you didn't show the right motive, how you didn't follow the Bible in what you did, but yet my life is out of sync with God in this area and I'm not willing to deal with it? How can I say that? And the scary thing is he says, when we act that way, we're not just a little off track. We just aren't people that just have a hard time getting corrected. He says, we are like Cain. Because what he says is that spirit comes from a spirit of hatred. And that's why he warns us. Let's go back to John. Right. Hey, we've heard from the beginning you should love one another. You should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. That's the bottom line, see? When I respond that way, it isn't anything about how you did it. It's not about you're not following. It's about your deeds are righteous in this area. You're pointing out evil in me. And I don't want to hear that my deeds are evil. Now look, when you come to correct me, please come with love. Please come and be sensitive to me. Please do all those things. But if you can't be, still come to me. Don't not write me a letter and correct my sin because you're afraid that I might get offended by the letter. Don't let me go to hell because you're afraid you didn't do it exactly the right way. Please. We can't be like Cain. We've got to accept wrong in our life when it's pointed out to us. It doesn't matter how, and it doesn't matter if the contrast is with somebody else. Well, Missy, I know it's hard working out, but Jim works out every day and he doesn't cuss. You see, why would I get mad at Jim because he works out the right way and I don't? If I do, he's saying I have the heart, the spirit like Cain. How about when someone questions my actions or motives? They're not right out pointing out sin in my life. They're just saying, well, you know, why did you do that? It kind of seems like you were kind of angry when you did that. What was your motive for that? Or why did you do what you do? Why did you go over there and talk to her the way you did? How come you sat over there instead of sitting over here like you normally do? When somebody approaches us like that, what do we say? You can't judge me. You have a right to judge my motive. The Bible says, do not judge. You need to quit looking at me and pay attention to your own life. Now look, if I'm innocent in that, why would I get angry that you're pointing something out that's a potential problem? See, once again, I want to say, what? Are you calling me evil and you're righteous? And I assume the mindset of Cain. I assume and I vehemently now hate you or am angry towards you or have ill will towards you because you question, you had the audacity as my brother in Christ to ask me, why did you do that? How come you, what was your motivation for doing that? Donnie, did you do that out of love? See, how's Donnie going to respond to that? Is Donnie now going to hate me? Because I dared to ask him whether he did something in love. Or is he going to respond like Cain or not? He says what? Don't walk in the way of Cain. Do not be like Cain. We all have to ask ourselves, am I like Cain? Well, let's flip it around. How about when I'm the one questioning a brother's actions or motives? Am I being like Cain? I'm questioning you because I'm trying to get back at you. Oh, what was your motive in that, Donnie? And I am angry because I think in my mind Donnie's trying to make himself like he always does things the right way. He's pretending to be righteous, and so I question his actions or motives, not because I love him, not because I'm really trying to see if there's something wrong, but because I want to embarrass him, I want to hurt him. Then in my life came, my own deeds are evil and my brothers are righteous. You see, it can flip either way. It can flip either way. How about this one? When I see someone doing more or something better or different than me, am I like Cain? I see somebody doing something good. It's a good work. It's a righteous deed. They're offering their sacrifice. And they did it the right way. Do I sit back and do I say, who are they trying to impress? That was one of the things this guy brought to me. He said, he's trying to impress you. That's why he said that. But is what he said right? Well, it doesn't matter. Let's don't talk about that. Was it, he was just trying to impress you. See, he's doing more than what I'm supposed to be doing. He's doing what I should be doing, and that I should be honest in trying to help my brother better himself. But he's doing it to impress you. When I see someone doing something better than me or more than me, am I like Cain? How about we say ourselves, they're just full of themselves. We use these catchphrases, right? Or how about we use somebody that pray, and I hear this a lot of time in prison, if somebody prays a certain way or prays to what they consider to be too long, and they say, well, they just love listening to themselves. Do we say that about each other? Oh, every time Aaron gets up to preach, he preaches for 45 minutes. He could have said that in 20 minutes. I'm not going to use me, I'm going to use Aaron. And then we sit back and say, is that sinful? Is that wrong? Well, no, but Aaron, he just likes to hear himself talk. He's trying to show everybody that he can preach a long time. Or somebody gets up and leads songs a certain way, or says something or doesn't say something. The whole point is in our interaction with each other, is it possible we treat each other like Cain treated Abel? Am I like Cain? It doesn't mean every time I say something that I'm like Cain. But what it means is I better ask myself. Because here, John is writing to a group of Christians, and he's bringing up something that they didn't just use every day as an everyday example. He's bringing up something, one of the oldest stories in the Bible, and he's saying, brethren, you might be like this guy that you know that murdered his brother, the first murderer in the Bible. If we compare somebody to Hitler today, and it happens all the time, what people say, oh, that's so crazy, that's exaggerating. Look what he's doing here. He's comparing our motivations and our actions toward each other that we might be like Cain. Is it possible that we are when we say things like that? How about this? When someone receives more praise or has more influence than I do, how do we feel about that? Oh, they make all the decisions. Oh, they just think they run the place. Am I like Cain? I mean, is there something they're doing that's wrong? If it's wrong, if they're lording it over the group, they're taking a position that they shouldn't have, then we need to go point that sin out, right? Right. That's absolutely the right thing to do. But see, no, we're back taking pot shots. Oh, they just like to get praise. They just like the influence. They just like the authority. They just like the power. Are we like Cain? Can we say that? Are we frustrated because what they're doing is what I know I should be doing? And they're showing by their righteous actions, the actions they're doing are righteous and good, and they're showing by that a contrast in my life, and why am I not doing it? And instead of me seeing them and saying, Daryl, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you not doing this? Instead, I'm focused on how bad they're making me look. And I'm like Cain. I'm like Cain. And I'm going to leave you one verse, and that's Galatians chapter 4. And I think it ties into this. It doesn't mention Cain, so it's the only verse today that we'll talk about that doesn't mention Cain. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, turn with me if you would there. Let's read it together. Galatians 4, verse 16. And this chapter, if you read it, And really, so much of Paul's writing, I think sometimes we get Paul this idea of he's very unemotional, very harsh kind of person. When you read this, he talks so endearing about how much he loves the churches of Galatia, these brethren who've been led astray by these false teachers. And so there's a concern with him when we get down to verse 16, and if you read on through the end of the chapter, he even talks about, you know, why he's doing it. He calls them little children. He says, I felt like when I'm working with you and the struggles you've had, I feel like I've given birth to you in Christ. He compares himself to a mother giving birth and how he loves them. And he says in verse 16, have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? And I think that's what we have to finally ask ourselves. Is that, you know, when if Donnie comes to me and points out some sin in my life, has he made me his enemy by telling me the truth? If the congregation ever felt they needed to write me a letter to point out some sin in my life that's legitimate, would I become an enemy of the Middleburg Church because they told me the truth? And you can just insert Cain. Have I become Cain? Have you become Cain by me telling you the truth? Brother, let's vow not to be Cain. Let's just tell everybody right now, you can come to me and tell me the truth about myself. And if you love me, do that. And I promise you, I won't hate you like Cain hated Abel. And that I will work not to be like Cain, but to love you when you even point out evil in me and unrighteousness in me. Later on in John, he talks about the source of not becoming like Cain, the source of that love that Justin talked about was Jesus Christ. There's only one way you can love people that point out evil in you, and that's if you're called beyond yourself to serve something higher than yourself. And that's God. You see, within us has to be this desire to be like God. And if we're not, we want to know why we're not so we can correct it. Are you like God this morning? So you can't be based on just the actions of your life. You can only be like God if you've been covered with the blood of His Son, if you've died with Christ. If you haven't, you can't be like God. And in fact, by that very definition alone, you're like Cain. But you can come and be like Abel. And God can look at your life no longer as evil and unacceptable, but as righteous and good and pure. And you can do that through a relationship with Jesus Christ.